and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm in the studio with four amazing Bahamian artists. We heard from Utavia George, who's off studying in Paris. It's very glamorous. Although I'm sure it's not as glamorous as it sounds, because I've lived there too, in an attic and in a maid's room with a like mattress on the floor. So I know all about it. I was a student in Paris too. We can talk about that off the air. Matthew Rahming, who's going off to Boston to finish his degree. So again, you're going to come back with your hopefully not too bad Boston accent. Harvard Yard, Park the Khan, Harvard Yard. You have to learn how to say that. So you'll speak all different kinds of dialect. And now we are going to some people who are sort of really icons. The whole family is iconic. We're sitting here in the glow of the expertise and the family of the great Minnis family of painters. We have Roshan Minnis Ima in the studio. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. And we have her husband, Richie Ima.
Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi. Who is, I don't know how it is being the gent and being considered part of the Minnis family, because, you know, I know your name's important too, but somehow when we did Creations Grace at the NAGB, that's when you were on the radio. Yeah, because you're part of the family.
You've been
for such a long time. Mm. And what's great is that your talent matches them. Can you imagine marrying into that family as an artist and not being as good? Oh, that would have been embarrassing.
That's very kind of you,
right?
Amanda.
Yeah, that would have been a hard row to hoe. So we did. Yeah, we had that wonderful retrospective of sort of the family retrospective in a way. And I can't remember now, when was that? Maybe about 5 years ago,
yes,
with Eddie Minnis, Roshan, with Nicole, and with yourself. And we did a lovely catalog, which, by the way, is still available in the shop, so you can make a very nice Christmas present. I'm just saying. So even though we're all kind of being jolly, even though, you know, it's a tough theme we're dealing with, you really had quite a journey through this. So tell us a little bit about your journey, and tell us a little bit about the work we have on show, which I know is almost like salvaged work. I mean, it's work that went through the hurricane as well. So can you tell us a little bit? Who's going to get started?
It's definitely. Every year we try to be prepared for hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, like every other year, we were trying to do our hurricane preparation. In fact, the last week in August we were totally consumed with hurricane preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And not only we prepare for ourselves, but we said, well, we have to try to have as much supplies as possible, mm-hmm, because there may be other persons who may come to us for refuge,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
to after the storm. So that's all we were concerned with.
Yeah.
During that last week in August.
So I should probably say to the audience that you were living in Marsh Harbor.
Yes, right in Marsh Harbor, yes. So the night of Saturday, we had a friend who came over to stay with us. So in our house, it's Roshan and myself and my aged parents who came to live with us in Marsh Harbor in December of last year. So it's been a year now. So Sunday morning, we woke up and things started to get very, very bad. And we figured that we were in for a different storm. It wasn't going to be the usual storm where you lost part of the roof or some shingles and then you stay home and you have to, mm-hmm, do everything to get back on your feet. So it was a different storm. In fact, at one point, I was kind of scared. I felt like, what's going to happen now? Because, mm-hmm, I looked through the little peephole we had, mm-hmm, through the shutter, and I saw the wind basically blow away a mango tree that we had in the yard.
Wow.
So it was, and then visibility became very hard, and we couldn't hardly see 2 feet away from us. So it was very hard. But it was an interesting thing that happened after that, and Shan can relate it, how you got a message from your dad and how that was a lifesaver for all of us.
Yeah, well, like Richie said, we realized this was going to be a different storm because my family and I had all gone through Hurricane Andrew in North Eleuthera.
Yeah, I remember her. Yep.
And yep. I didn't want to experience another storm like that. I thought that was my last, but Dorian was different because we were able to stay in our home in Hurricane Andrew, and we were able to help other people. There were 11 of us at the time in the home, and then we were able to help others recover from the storm afterward. But my dad, having gone through this storm, when he heard on the radio that the winds were up to 185 miles an hour, sustained winds, he sent me a text. And this text was like step-by-step instructions as to what I needed to do. And I said, well, I have to take this seriously. He said, get everything you need from upstairs and come downstairs. And I said, I'm not going to delay. I'm going to do exactly what he says, and I'm not going back for anything. And it wasn't 10 minutes after that that I got downstairs that the roof was gone upstairs.
Wow.
A container hit the roof, and it collapsed. And if I was upstairs, I don't know what would have happened. So as a result of that, we ended up having to go into the section where Richie's parents stayed. Water was coming in. Everything was compromised. The eye of the storm came, and we realized we needed to get to somewhere else that was safer. We went to the tenant's house in the front, the neighbor's house in the front, and we were able to stay there. When the second part of the storm came, it was more than intense. It was incredible. There were five of us, and we went into one bathroom, and we were praying constantly, and it seemed as though the roof was going to give, and we had to go into the other bathroom. And it ended up, there were five of us that were in the bathtub for 5 hours with cushions over our head, water dripping on us. Some of the ceiling, the sheetrock fell in, but fortunately the roof didn't give out. And after 5 hours, we finally got out about 7:30 in the evening, and we spent the evening in the kitchen. So it was a different storm. And yep. Fortunately, after that, we went to a friend's house, and 21 of us were together, and we all worked together, and we all made it.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's just almost it's almost impossible to really imagine, you know, because again, we've all been through them, and we all think we know them. And I remember when we moved home, and my family were saying, well, what are the natural disasters? You know, which is a weird question. But my daughter has a thing about natural disasters. So, you know, tsunamis, are there earthquakes? And I was like, no. I said, we have hurricanes. And I remember saying, and actually, hurricanes are the best kind of natural disaster because you know they're coming and you can plan for them and they can be kind of fun sometimes. I mean, I was really like, and as a child, even in the bad ones, it was, again, you felt in control somehow, right?
Yes.
And this one was really different. So tell us a little bit about the paintings in the show now, because I remember I spoke to you, and for a while you didn't know where your works were, right? And I remember we spoke afterwards, and you made it here. And actually, there was that famous picture of you in the paper, right?
Yeah.
I know. arriving. You were, you know, captured arriving, and sort of the joy on your face, I think, was what made the picture so iconic, right? Was that it was just this sort of relief and joy and kind of to be on solid ground. And I remember we spoke, and I was trying to get in touch with artists that I knew were in Abaco or Grand Bahama. And you know, you said, well, I don't know where the paintings are, and the gallery was destroyed. So tell us a little bit about the paintings on show and that journey that you had.
So the day after the storm, on Monday, a friend of mine and I, we got into a car, and then we drove around. And then we went to the gallery, and we saw it was totally devastated. In fact, the stairwell leading up to it was gone. So I said, you know, this is the area where the surge was about 24 feet.
Because I remember I visited the gallery. It's like right in the harbor.
Yes,
like right on the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said, it's no way that the paintings would have survived.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to Nassau that week, and a month later,
I was like, maybe it'll wash up. Because they do, you hear these stories
happen, right? You keep hoping good would happen.
I mean, that famous, but there's a whole movie about it now called The Goldfinch. There's a very famous Jan Fabritius painting, which is in The Hague, I think, or somewhere. Very famous painting. And there was an explosion, and the whole studio, he died in it, the whole studio, and this painting survived, right? And that's one of the reasons it's got this wonderful kind of story around it. So, you know, things do in the weirdest way survive, float, you know, hide behind a wall somewhere. And
yes.
I remember we were talking, and I was like, maybe something will float up. Someone's going to walk out, and it's going to be on their doorstep.
You know? So interestingly, a month later, our landlord called and told us, guess what? The painting's all safe. I couldn't believe it. He said they were all upstairs. because right before the storm, during our preparation, I had packed everything. Mm-hmm. I swear by bubble wrap now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah. I bubble wrap's pretty awesome.
You know? So I put everything in one corner. And would you believe this is only that corner of the gallery that wasn't destroyed. Everything in the gallery was topsy-turvy. There was watermarks everywhere, seawater and all the toolboxes and everything. So although the landlord, Chris Roberts, he and his wife are wonderful. They've been very supportive from the time we moved to Abaco. They love the art, and we couldn't have done it in Marsh Harbor without their help when it came to the art. So although he told us that all the paintings were fine, and then they took them to their house further south, I still, in my mind, was wondering, how could that be possible?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks later, we flew to Marsh Harbor. We went to Chris and Molly. And lo and behold, the paintings were right there in the living room. So we took them that night, and we inspected them one by one.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, of course.
And would you believe there was no sign of damage? No,
because they do. They look pristine. I mean, I was walking through the show yesterday, and I was like, "Okay, so they had these here, and they brought them from." I mean, I couldn't believe those paintings.
It was amazing.
Because there's some from the Albert Lowe Museum in that little room, and we have some Alton Lowes that were salvaged from the Albert Lowe Museum, and you can see that they've been a little banged up. You know, I mean, again, they survived pretty well, but you know, the frames are messed up, and we're leaving it so that people can understand. But I mean, it's amazing that your work. They're so pristine.
Pastel, Rashan's pastel. I said, okay, these are oil. Okay, I understand. They made it.
But yeah, because oil is very hardy.
Let's see what's going to happen to the pastel. And, you know, my heart was a little pounding as I was opening the bubble wrap, the paper around it. And we were like, wow.
And what was amazing, I mean, well, we don't take any credit for it. We're just very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
When we came on the flight, there was a team of conservationists from the Smithsonian.
You met the Smithsonian. Yeah, you met
on
the guys.
The same flight.
I know
you had mentioned it, but I didn't know when they were coming.
Yeah.
And they were there on the same flight.
And I even said to them, because I was working with them on like where they should visit, right? So they'd reached out after the hurricane, and they'd said, you know, what do you need? And et cetera. And we were making the itinerary for Marsh Harbor. And actually, I was supposed to be on that flight, but I'd been somewhere. I couldn't be out of the office. Anyway, I went to Green Turtle Key the next day and then to Grand Bahama, but I wasn't on that leg of it. And we were doing, we had a kind of summit meeting the day before. And I said, and there was this list. They were like, we're not sure we're going to get to everyone. I said, I don't think you need to go to the Minnis Gallery because I heard there's nothing left. I said, because, you know, really it was a salvage mission. It was like, what can we get out? What can we save? What can we triage right away? Mm-hmm. Or what can we figure out, like, we'll come back for that, or we'll figure out a plan for that, right? So it was really sort of, and I said, listen, I spoke to them. Apparently the building's not there and there's nothing in it, so just strike that one off your list because I don't think there's anything there to find. And then they came back and they were like, we met them on the plane, everything survived. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was amazing because we were able to call our landlord and he was able to bring Nicole's piece and they were able to open the first piece and there was a little issue with it, and they were able to tell us exactly what to do.
I said we had to fix it. Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were basically going around and telling people. Yeah,
we were thrilled.
Yeah,
we were really, really thrilled.
You know, it was great they came, and we're going to be working on some programming with them in the future so that we can do it ourselves, really, so that we can go into these areas and identify the needs. And it was really such a learning experience being with them.
Right.
And it was really interesting. And again, like, you see the kind of, you know, that level of commitment, which I find so amazing.
Yes.
And again, like, even talking about Green Turtle Key, you know, I mean, it sounds cold, and but, you know, art matters. And while, you know, everyone has their expertise, and other people are experts in giving humanitarian aid and, you know, being a doctor and all those things, which of course people need, but someone has to take care of the culture. They really do. It's really important. And it's the first thing he said, the guy who came down, Richard Curran, and he said, he's been to Haiti, went to all the major disasters, war zones. He's been into wars. These people go into war zones.
Wow.
And like risk their lives. And, you know, and people from the communities do too. And because they care so much, you know, mm-hmm. you know, there's people burying things that are going to be illegal. illegal or whatever, and smuggling things out. I mean, you know, people put their lives on the line for culture because mm-hmm. it's our identity, right? It's what holds our identity.
Exactly.
And I was so impressed by these people. And in Green Turtle Key, it was like there were just regular folks going into the Albert Lowe Museum and a lot of the other museums we saw, the Wyannie Malone Museum and Elbow Key, and just, you know, working their hearts out to take care of, you know, our heritage and our culture, and that these people come from away to do it too. I mean, it's so amazing and heartwarming. And they came to the gallery, they looked at our collection, because, you know, we struggle with our collection too, with other things that that we have going on, you know, with being in a tropical climate, that it doesn't help when storms go by and make everything worse. And, you know, and they came, again, so generous, so caring. But I think it's a really important thing to say, which is that, you know, art matters, because it's the record of who we are, right? When we want to figure out what people were like, what are we looking at? Artifacts. Right? Artifacts. And, you know, sure, and then now we have digital, but, you know, it's all, I can't even look at the pictures of my daughter from 16 years ago because it's changed, right? Unless you're updating, you're archiving, like, every year. All these pictures were taken ain't going to be around, man. Like, what's going to be around are sculptures and paintings and things that really survive.
Right.
And it's really important to hold on to them for ourselves as well.
Right. And we really appreciate the article that you wrote, Art Matters.
Thank you.
On September 7th, after the storm, because it was really heartwarming to us. And it was also heartwarming to us the support that the National Art Gallery gave us after the storm. And they were looking for artists who were affected by it, because we haven't been able to produce art.
And we're still, don't worry, pop-up's still happening. It's just like everything in this country, taking longer than we want it to, but it's still happening. So again, the NAGB is trying to find studio space for artists and things like that. So of course, we do that.
The support you guys gave us was wonderful.
No, yeah. Of course. Yeah. And that's why I was like trying to get everyone's phone number and call them. And, you know, of course. But again, like, you are the people that are making these things that you know, are going to be around when we're gone. And having just lost my dad, you know, I know like how important that is to have these artifacts that speak to, that leave a trace, right? And it was a pleasure writing that article. And the painting that I cited in that article, because I remembered, I was thinking about that painting. So your sister, Nicole, has a painting called After the Storm. Mm-hmm. And it's a very touching painting of two girls, and they're standing in front of their home, and it's destroyed, and one of them's clinging to her doll. And again, there were a lot of images that we'd been seeing in the press. And I just immediately thought of that painting, and I knew the owner, and I was like, I need to get that painting, and I need to talk about it. And that painting's also in the show. So, yes. So it's exciting to have it. So,
exciting.
So anyhow, there we are. We've heard from all of our artists, Utavia George, Matthew Raming, Richie Ema, and Roshan Minnis Ema, known as Shan.
Yes.
To her friends and family. It's a long name. And they're all going to be at the opening, I hope. You're all going to be at the opening,
oh, yes.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
Of course you are. Good. On Thursday night, which is tomorrow night, at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, there will be more artists there. There will be more artwork there. So do come out and join us and meet all the artists who have been, you know, pouring their hearts into these things, into expressing, you know, our sorrows and our hopes as well, you know, what survived, what didn't survive, all those things. So please come out for that. I was going to read you a list of all the people, but I've run out of time, so I can't. But there's 2 artists from Eleuthera, I think 7 from Abaco, 11 from Grand Bahama, maybe 20 from New Providence, and about, you know, 7 or 8 from the diaspora. So I think, Matthew, you're considered the diaspora now because you live in Boston. So come out. It's a moment of reflection. But it's also a moment of celebration that we came through, that we're here, that we are going to work together to rebuild and to support each other and to move forward as a nation. So that show's called Refuge. It's opening tomorrow night. It will be on until middle of April, I believe. And again, don't forget, the NAGB is always free every Sunday. So if you miss the opening, which is free and you don't need an invitation for, so sometimes people think they need to buy tickets for the opening too. I'm like, no, man, it's all free. And there's drinks and there's food and, you know, come on out. It's Christmas time and we have to celebrate togetherness and survival. So come on out. But the show will be up. And again, stay tuned to the Blank Canvas. Go to our website. Look at our calendar. There's so much going on at the NAGB. And it's not just the NAGB. It's your NAGB. It's the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas for everybody in this country to enjoy. All of the work is Bahamian artwork made by people living and working here. And it's really something wonderful that makes us proud as people. So come on out and celebrate that. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas. I want to thank all the artists, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
for coming
you.
In.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for making the work. Without you guys, I wouldn't have a job. So, again, it all starts with the artists. So come out and celebrate them. So you have been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show where we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a great night.